Thank you, Pastor, for having us. It's a real privilege for us to be here and represent Shepherds. We were 27 years in Brazil, and the Lord called us back to the States because of health purposes. And our home church in Ferndale, Washington, called me to be pastor. That's not supposed to be work that way, but it did. And we stayed for 18 years. And upon retiring, because of my age, we wondered what we were going to do. And Shepherds called and said, pray about it, would you please, representing us on the West Coast, because no one has done it really since Dr. Wood, and a little bit after him, Dr. Jim Mazzurian. So we prayed about it and thought, how wonderful to spend our retirement years doing this. So this is our fourth year representing Shepherds, and the reason they ask us to do it is because we have a daughter, her name is Joy. And she was born mentally disabled. She's never spoken a word. She's never dressed herself. She is very disabled. And she's lived at Shepherd's for 37 years. She's 43 years old. I don't know the theology of it, Pastor, but I think her first word may be Jesus. And I hope Margie and I are nearby to hear her say that. That'd be so nice. Many people could stand here and give you their testimonies. In fact, there's a book that's giving the testimonies of 23 guardians and parents who had to put their loved one at Shepherd's, and we were honored. I forgot to introduce my wife, Margie, and forgive me, my dear. That's if she didn't travel with me, we wouldn't do it. We've been on the road since January. We have a fifth-wheel trailer, and we live in a trailer most of our time. We're home for 3 weeks in July and head off for Puget Sound in eastern Washington. That brings us to Christmas, so we're gone all the time. Well, we love it. This is my 52nd year of ministry. I had my first funeral 52 years ago. So anyway, thank the Lord we can keep on going. We hate to have to offer this book for $15, but I understand on the web it costs $19, so you might want to pick up one here. please look over the literature there in the... on the table. There are many interesting things to read. There are some wonderful things that churches, individuals, classes can be involved in, the joy of friendships. People like to do projects, and of course there are project lists there. We have all kinds of bookmarks. I got one here somewhere. We're celebrating this year 45 years at Shepherd's, and there's a bookmark that celebrates and announces that. You might want to pick up one of those. And any other thing, the Adopt-A-Resident program is very, very popular at Shepherd's. There are 44 orphans who don't have any families at all. And this is what keeps them going at Shepherd's, those who will adopt symbolically a resident and help them, and that's been very popular. And I've already seen a box back there for Chef Campbell's soup labels. We appreciate that. Let me tell you why. There's a slip of paper on our table you're welcome to take that gives all of the products. Pardon? It's the new list. All the new products, that is, that they accept for redemption for vans. You see, at Shepherd's we have 15 vans already. Well, you know, they do get old, they wear out, so you have to get new ones. So we're always buying new vans, but we buy them with Campbell soup labels. How many? One van, 1,400,000 of those labels. So what I tell churches everywhere, folks, please eat a lot of soup and send the labels to Shepherd's. We really do appreciate that. There's one other thing we would love to do. And sometimes it's hard for people to respond to this, but let me ask you anyway, if you would be willing to sign our sheet here so that we can send you next year's calendar, 2004. Shepherd's puts out fantastic calendars. This year's calendar features the artwork of mentally disabled people. And I'll tell you, it puts some of those who are classified as normal to shame. It's amazing what they can do. So Margie will pass that around, dear, please. Oh, yes, absolutely, it's free. But even though free, we have to know where to send it, see? So, and if you don't want it, just sign it and give it to your neighbor, okay? Yeah. Is this Brother Rorex? We've talked on the phone, haven't we? And Pastor, I suppose a year ago we signed this meeting up, didn't we? So I work a year in advance. We're already scheduled through June of next year already. So by August, I hope to have everything done. We'll be gone another 6 months in California. We can't get out of California. We formerly only had San Francisco northward, and I finally got real brave and asked the board. I said, "Would you give us all the state?" And they probably thought we were crazy. So here we are, 6 months in all of California. Next year it'll be here again, and I opened up two new areas, Arizona and Nevada, believe it or not. Would you turn, please, to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Let me pray just before we look into God's Word. Father, this is your precious book, and it's inspired, and whatever we read is important for our lives. So, Lord, help us tonight as we look at it to be blessed, to be challenged, and may it help us in a very special way, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't want you to answer this, but have you ever felt that God has asked you to do something you did not want to do? Isn't it interesting that in life so many things happen in a negative way, and it's hard for us to give thanks? That's what James is talking about in verse 2. Look what he says. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Now what is a trial? A trial is anything adverse that happens to you anytime. Now I don't know about you, but they happen with me every day. I kind of wish they wouldn't. But they do. And I have told people in the last 3 weeks that the Lord has made me practice what I preach in such fantastic ways. And it's so true. The negative things that happen to us, whether they are health problems or financial problems or work problems or church problems or school problems or any kind of problems, we are told that, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. And Margie and I fall into this category because God in His wisdom saw fit to give us a mentally disabled child. And God taught us this lesson. Ralph and Margie just count it all joy. Isn't it interesting? Her name is Joy, too. Joy Polson. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Now, you know that, but someone says, why, Ralph? Look at the next verse. Look at the next verse in James chapter 1. Verse 3 says, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Does anyone need that? Well, of course they do. Does Ralph Post need it? Oh, my, yes. Why does God give me so many adverse situations in life? They happen all the time. The most recent being computer failures. And I live with the laptop that our gracious church gave us as a retirement gift. That's our shepherd's machine. I contact the world and do everything through a cell phone. It hooks on a cable that long because we don't have any land-based telephone. Everything has gone wrong. So the Lord brings them back to James 1, 2 all the time. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Now, it's to make us more patient, but you know, look at the next verse, verse 4. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. You see, the problems of life, God uses to hone us and to develop us and perfect us that we might be more like Christ. It's wonderful if we would only accept them the way God intends them to be. And Margie and I have learned that verse 5 is very special talking about this. Notice what it says. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. What is wisdom? Wisdom means doing things God's way. So when the problems of life come, and they will, verse 2, give thanks, count it all joy, because you know why, patience and more Christ-like. But we have to know what to do when they come. And if we don't use verse 5 and ask for God's wisdom, we won't go through this His way. That's why it is such a precious verse to always say, Lord, now give me Your wisdom so that we will do it and go through this problem Your way. Because see, there are only two ways you can do it. You're going to do it Your way, you're going to do it God's way. How much blessed it is, more blessed to go and do it God's way. Having said that, would you go with us, please, 2,000 miles up the Amazon River? That's where we used to live, working for ABWE. It was time for Margie to give birth to our daughter, Joy. And, you know, you normally go to a hospital to have a baby, right? And we chose not to go to the hospital because the one in our hometown was not a very good hospital, even though I knew the doctor. I chose not to let Margie go there because the doctor, has been known to meet people at the door who were bringing sick people to be treated at the hospital, and he would say, you're going the wrong way, and he would point right over to the cemetery. Can you imagine that? The doctor who would normally help my wife give birth to this precious baby. Well, Lord, what do we do? Count it all joy when you fall into trial. Here is a major one. Margie's ready to deliver. Where do we go? We're at the end of the Amazon River, the last town in Brazil on the Amazon. Where do you go? Pray, ask God for wisdom. Oh, yes, I remember. There's a plane that comes from the midway point in the Amazon, a town you've all heard of, Manaus, and that goes up, stops at all the villages, goes up into the next country, Peru, where ABW has a mission station, and that's what we did. Went up there, Margie gave birth to our precious daughter, Joy, and it was a hard delivery, hard on Joy, hard on Margie. They had to give Joy our daughter vitamin K shots, you know what that is, a blood coagulant, and it was just not easy nor good. When things normalized a little bit, we came back to the Brazilian side and resumed our ministry, and there in a little town called Benjamin Constant, in English, in Portuguese we say Benjamin Constant, and when our daughter was 8 months old, we noticed something was different. We didn't know what. We didn't know she was born disabled. She was beautiful. But something was different. And what do? Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Lord, we don't know what to do. And our dear pioneer missionaries, you may have known them, Helen and Orville Floden, maybe that name doesn't ring a bell. They said, you ought to go to Bogota, Colombia, which is quite a trip, of course, from the jungle, and get some consultation with a medical professional. And so we did. To our surprise, the plane in Leticia, Colombia, on which we departed to go over the Andes Mountains to Bogota, was an interesting airplane because it was a plane it was taking on that flight animals to the zoos in Florida. So we had everything you could think of from the Amazon, animals that you would not care for me to describe, but there were parrots and there were monkeys and there were tropical fish in plastic oxygenated bags. There were pythons and boa constrictors and anacondas and huge cages. These were all our traveling companions to go over the Andes Mountains to Bogota. They would be transshipped to Florida. I also noticed something very strange about the flight, and it concerned me because every time I looked out, I could see mountains out this way instead of looking down and seeing the mountains, and I wondered, what is going on? The Andes are big mountains. I asked Mike Salikas, the Greek man in charge, and I said, what's going on, Mike? He said, oh, we don't like to spend a lot of money for gasoline to take these machines over the mountains, so we don't go over the Andes, we go like this, in and around them. And that's the way we went to Bogota. It was quite a trip. Never will forget it. We got to Bogota and saw the doctor, and in the words of the medical profession of Bogota, in the medical field of 43 years ago, he looked at Joy and looked up at Marge and me and said these exact words, I see you have here a mongoloid idiot. And that was the end of the conversation, end of the consultation, which costs a lot of money. Our daughter is not Down syndrome, a better term he should have used, but he said she's very anemic and needs a blood transfusion, and so with that I sent Margie and her home immediately from on the Avianca Airlines to Seattle, Washington, and then on up to Ferndale. And then our son, Raleigh, 2 years older than our daughter, Joy, he and I went back, closed down the mission station, and soon joined Margie there. And then starts the long trip, which any person could stand here and give of how what they did or how they coped with the fact that now they have a mentally disabled child, and what are you going to do? Well, James says, count it all joy. And we did. And a lady provided me a ticket to go to the National GRBC Conference in Winona Lake, Indiana. Remember the old Billy Sunday Tabernacle? And there, it was there that I saw a shepherd's display that said Shepherd's Home and School. I picked up the literature, not knowing much about this place because we lived in the jungles. And come to find out, they give compassionate Christian care to mentally disabled children. And what a joy, a possibility. So Margie and I read it and prayed over it, and he said yes. So we filled out the papers and got them all ready and took Joy to the doctor to have her examined with all the proper papers. And then the phone rang. And they said, Ralph, the doctor said, I'm so sorry to tell you, but in Joy's medical exam, we have discovered that she has tuberculosis. So that was the end of Shepherd's. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. What do you do? Well, the state of Washington tells you what to do. So that is God's answer. They took her off to a sanitarium. 7.5 years old, we had to put her in a sanitarium. A little girl who could not process information. And it was very traumatic for us, maybe not as much for her, and she was there such a long time. And finally, one day, when I was ministering for ABWE and the Lord in the Seattle area, Margie called and said, the doctor has told us that Joy does not have tuberculosis. I said, praise the Lord. They had falsely read the x-rays, which showed particles or something in the lungs. And, of course, we understood that because every spoonful of food that our daughter ingested was a choking spell almost to the point of death. And how many spoonfuls of food does one eat in a given meal? Every one of those spoonfuls was a choking spell, which is so trauma-filled for dear Margie, mostly, and all of us. And the doctors had no answer. Well, Joy doesn't have tuberculosis, and even though she may choke some, we can now go to Brazil, go to Shepherd's, and that's what we did. We took her to Shepherd's. I took her. Margie was ill because we had come home from Brazil. She wasn't well. And anyway, we got her in Shepherd's. She's been there for 37 years. And Shepherd's is a marvelous place. And we can never give thanks enough to God for that wonderful place that gives compassionate Christian care to mentally disabled people, far and beyond what you normally see in homes that minister to disabled people. Because this place, Shepherd's, is interested in the individual. They're not a number. They're not just someone assigned to a certain room. The activity at Shepherd's, the Christ-honoring way which things are done, is so refreshing. And our daughter lives in Unit 8, and there are about 13 other ladies who live there who have always taught us very important lessons. Everyone at Shepherd's has taught us lessons when we know them personally. We were visiting with our son. His name is Raleigh. He took his son, our grandson, Nathan, to meet his aunt, our daughter Joy, for the first time, and Raleigh wanted to see his sister. So we were there and had a great time, and it was time to go home now. And Mrs. Bowes, a counselor for both the male section, Unit 7, and the female 8, where Joy lives, called over to a man over in the men's section. His name was Brad, and she said, Brad, come here. So Brad came running out into the middle of the wood center, and she said, Brad, Mr. and Ms. Polson and Raleigh and Nathan are going to the airport. Would you please pray for their safe trip to Washington? And I wondered what she was doing, because we know Brad. Brad, like our daughter, cannot talk. He's never spoken a word. She asked him to pray for our trip. I wondered what kind of deal this was. I soon found out. He came up to me and put his hands like this. What do you suppose that tells me? In other words, Brad said, you know, he can't talk, but in other words, do it because I'm going to pray. went to Margie, went to Raleigh, went to Nathan. When we were all like that, then he said, then he checked to see if our eyes were closed. And then it happened. I will never forget it as long as I live. In a grunt and in a groan and in a puff of air, it was all over, and Ms. Bowes, the counselor, said, amen, and turned to us and said quickly, don't underestimate what you have heard, because this man knows how to pray. He can't talk, but he knows how to pray. He came to Shepherd's as a non-believer, from a non-believing family, heard about Jesus Christ, which everybody does who comes to Shepherd's, and Brad wonderfully accept Christ as his personal Savior, and he went home for his first vacation time, and you can't imagine the trouble he caused. Let me tell you why. He never ate his meals and never slept at night. They brought him back to Shepherd's, and they were disgusted, of course, and said, what have you done with Brad? And told the story. They smiled and said, Brad just wants to pray before he eats, and pray before he goes to sleep at night. That's all. So the next time Brad went home, Dad, a non-believing, big family, a lot of siblings, Dad handled that real well. Everyone was there, and he says, let's pray. Why do you suppose? He never prayed in his life, but he's going to pray so Brad will eat. And Brad did. Every meal was that way. Went up at night and knelt with him and prayed with him before he went to sleep, and he went to sleep. So Dad's praying now every meal and every night. And Brad goes to sleep and eats all his meals. But there's a man who cannot talk, but he knows how to commune with God. You know what happened, don't you? Dad got saved. Mom got saved. All of his siblings got saved. All of his cousins got saved. All of his aunts and uncles got saved. And 3 years ago when we were visiting, Grandma had just trusted Jesus as her personal Savior. Think of it. Someone who cannot talk, but knows how to talk to God. What a lesson for me. You're going to see in the video in a few moments a man standing in the pulpit just like this. His name is Terry Craig. Please don't forget him. He's going to say this, so you won't forget. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I can't say it like he does. He's Down syndrome. He's one of the greatest men of God we personally know. 25-plus years ago, he made a contract with God. Believe this. Mentally disabled people know they're disabled, you see. He made a contract with God. He says, Lord, you know my condition. Please help me learn Scripture verses. I want to learn your Word and hide it in my heart. Imagine this. So, through the years, the long, arduous trouble, not trouble, but the task of the staff at Shepherd's, read to him the Word of God. Read and read and read. Because you see, he cannot read, nor can he write. He can't do it. Well, I met him 2 years ago coming out of his room where he abides, his residence, and I called him over and I says, Terry, how many Scripture verses do you know? I already knew, you see, but I wanted to hear him say it. He'd made a contact with God for a 25-year period, and we were there just after his 45th birthday when he would complete the 25 years. And I said, Terry, how many verses do you know? And he said, Mr. Poston, I know 500 Scripture verses. And he does. And he stands, like I am here today, with another one, Sean Burdett, Mr. Pick, the man under whom I work at Shepherd's, the staff person. He takes these men, they sing, they give testimony, they quote Scripture, and they were doing that in this church, and a lady came in from the street who never attended that church, and after the service, she came to Terry, the Down syndrome man, says, Terry, I would do anything in the world if I had what you have. Imagine that. A perfectly normal lady talking to a Down syndrome man. And he said, Madam, are you a Christian? He's so sweet. She said, No. Would you like to be? Oh, yes. May I show you? Oh, please. And so he opened unto her the Scriptures. How? Verbally. Because he can't read or write, see? And he opened unto her the Scriptures and showed her Jesus and her condition. And she was wonderfully saved. He does this all the time because he has a passion for people. And shepherds is training people all the time to do this as they learn Scripture and they go out and they have these wonderful opportunities to witness in churches. And that's why I always said, what a wonderful investment shepherds is, because it's a mission field. As we give to them, they're out in the churches winning souls for Christ. It is so very, very special. This same Terry Craig, at a meeting, remember a few, many months ago now, but there was a terrible tornado in Ladysmith, Wisconsin, and it ruined and tore down our regular Baptist church there. They were in a rented facility, but Shepherds was already scheduled to go, so they went for their meeting and had the meeting in this facility. And these two men had done their ministry, as they always do, and it was all over. And then pretty soon Terry, this man about whom I'm speaking, he touched Mr. Pick, our colleague, and said, Mr. Pick, may I say something else? Well, sure, because nothing is, it's all unrehearsed. So he came to the platform and he said this, looked out at this congregation who had gone through so much loss and destruction of homes and their church. And imagine this Down syndrome man ministering to this congregation. He just said, I wanted to tell you folks how much I plead with you to keep on trusting the Lord. Just trust Him. And I'm praying for you. And it was so sweet. He backed up from the pulpit and then he touched Mr. Pick again and says, may I sing a song? And so, sure, Terry, go ahead. So he came to the pulpit and he sang two verses of God Will Take Care of You. And I'll tell you, there wasn't a dry eye in the church as this dear Down syndrome man ministered to them in song. And that's the way it is. Now we're going to go to Shepherds by way of this and show you what God is doing at Shepherds. Your heart will be blessed, I assure you.